listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host. During this live broadcast, we invite you to call us with your questions. Our toll-free number is 800-630-7858. We also have a live chat at emotionalpro.com. You can make comments and interact with your fellow listeners. Remember, our toll-free number, 800-630-7858. We are told that a new root race is coming to Earth, populated by souls that will change the nature of life itself here on the Earth. Well-developed psychic powers, empathy, an altruistic sense of purpose, a desire for fair play, and the ability to connect almost telepathically with others. These are some of the characteristics these individuals have when they're born, which often puts them at odds with authority, even when they're youngsters. The people of this new root race have been arriving in small numbers at first, and now in droves over the past century. They're called the Blue Race, Intuitives, Indigo, or Crystal. We often refer to the children as indigo children. It's said that half the children born in the 70s fit this description. What is it like, we wonder, to be a child like few other children coming into a world where the very nature of who the child is scares, upsets, or baffles adults, the very people charged with their care and nurturance? What's the journey through childhood like? What problems and concerns do indigo children develop? Until now, we haven't had a clear perspective on these questions because we haven't heard from an indigo child who's grown and who can give us a perspective on the experience. But today, we have such an adult. Dr. Janine Talty has written the first book as an indigo adult on the childhood of indigos, written from the perspective of being all grown up. Indigo Awakening is the very intriguing, challenging, and heartfelt book that traces the childhood of one indigo person as she finds her way to adulthood on a planet and with people who are at once foreign and the loved ones among whom she lived. Dr. Talty is with us today to share her story. She's a board-certified family medicine by the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians. Dr. Talty specializes in clinical biomechanics, orthopedic medicine, and osteopathic manipulative medicine. That's hands-on. She's the medical director of the Wellness and Rehab Center in Watsonville, California, an assistant clinical professor in the Department of Manual Medicine at Michigan State University, College of Osteopathic Medicine in East Lansing, Michigan. She focuses on diagnosing and treating musculoskeletal diagnostic dilemmas of the spine and extremities, sports medicine, pain medicine, prolotherapy, Lyme disease, and natural hormone balance for women and men. You can find out more about her at indigoawakening.com. What makes her uniquely qualified to write a book on the lesser-known phenomenon of the indigo person is that she is one. So, Dr. Janine Talty, welcome to Full Power Living.
Welcome, Eileen. Thank you.
Let me thank you, first of all, for writing Indigo Awakening. For those of us who've known about the indigos and about children of the Blue Ray for a while, and perhaps being undiscovered indigo themselves or having raised such a child, it's wonderful at last to meet and go inside of someone who has these special abilities. So I want to thank you for exposing your life to the world toward our better understanding.
Well, you're welcome. It was a real, it felt like nothing like lifting your skirt to the world, really, because as an indigo person, we have been in hiding. We learned early on to hide these traits because there wasn't a whole lot of validation out there, and the numbers of labels you get, if you do reveal some of your perceptions, they do get suppressed, you know, as far as feeling like you are being made fun of or people look at you with strange, you know, expressions, like you're weird. So you learn not to share these. And the process of discovering who and what I was and that it fit into a larger context just made me feel that I could not possibly be alone in this experience, and my story needed to be told more as a reflective mirror to others rather than it being all about me. And that's really what I intended the book to be, even though I knew I had to sort of sacrifice myself and my personal life to get that message out. But I felt it was incredibly important for the collective at this point to do so.
Well, in line with that, I wanted to ask you to share the story of that you open your book with about being in kindergarten and working on an art project when someone comes in and starts asking you questions about it. This, I think, really does illustrate what you're talking about here, about your differentness. Would you tell that story?
Certainly. As a child, I never really knew what imagination was and what the real world was, because I had thoughts and visions that went through my head from historical times, from looking through the eyes of somebody who I wasn't, seeing imagery and participating in different situations and events that I didn't really know at the time were true historical occurrences. And so as a way of expressing that, because I was a slow talker, basically, I drew. And I drew the fantastic images of vignettes of what it felt like to be in these certain situations. And so in kindergarten, we had art class and we had our easels, and I just started drawing an image of being at the bottom of the ocean, looking up through the kelp bed and with the fish swimming through and the lights kind of filtering through the water and the different hues that made, looking up at a sailing ship, a schooner, that's probably dated back to the 1200s, because you could still see it through the water. And so this painting that I was drawing was certainly coming as if, you know, coming from my mind, as if I was remembering it almost, you know, exactly. And my teacher kept looking at what was developing on the painting paper. And one day, a woman came into our class, and I was sort of lost in my own little world painting. And she went through the class, and then they sort of ended up at my easel, and they started chatting quite briskly back and forth. What ended up being was that woman was a child development specialist who was writing a book on children who had sort of advanced abilities for their age. And she ended up putting that that image when it was finished and me in her book. But she identified that my abilities to express visually in, you know, through the arts were 7 to 10 years, you know, ahead of my age group. And that was quite remarkable at the time, because I was already having trouble in school in other ways.
Well, I believe that I raised 2 indigo children as a single parent, and it led me to develop a new system of parenting that I call conscious parenting. And in conscious parenting, you actually redefine the job of parenting, thinking of yourself more as a host family for a foreign exchange student, so that you teach them what you know, you teach them the language, and you support them in what they came here to do. And so in that way of looking at things, all of us come here to learn and grow, and we all come from outer space. And I thought that was part of what you might have been working with, is that you felt as though you came from some other place and there was not a good way for you to fit in with what occurred here, except that one thing that's really different about indigos, as you indicate, is a sense of mission, like there's something I'm supposed to do. What about that? Did you feel like you were from another place and have a sense of mission as well?
Oh, absolutely. I felt like a foreigner in a foreign land from the beginning. It was even evident during the birth process. I mean, it was a sort of tumultuous vaginal delivery that my mother experienced, but I was very allergic to most everything that they tried to give me, and even in the hospital. And my father identified this as going to be a problem when I got to go home, and so he hired this, and I'll put this in quotes, nurse to help my mother for the first week. And I was screaming, and I hated to be touched. I hated human contact. Except for this one woman. I mean, she picked me up and I settled down. She decided what, you know, best food I should eat, and I tolerated it. And it sort of, now looking back, it was as if she was a being sent in for the transition to assist in that. But as I grew, I really realized that this place, even though I learned as the process went on that I had been here several times, still felt foreign. It felt like I didn't need to do this again. Why did I come to do this again? Who made this decision one more time? I thought I was finished. And I would have images of sitting, you know, during school when it got really, really challenging for me because I couldn't learn what they were trying to teach me. I couldn't track linearly. I couldn't keep numbers and digits and letters straight. I would drop into these, you know, daydreams. You're going to call them daydreams or remembrances. I'm not sure. Of sitting at a council, telepathically communicating, and it was decided, you know, because this was such a critical time that we had to send sort of the Navy SEAL force in, and it was decided I was going, and my seat dropped out, and here I came flying to this planet and ended up at the birth process. So I got the message as the process developed, that I really wasn't from here at this time. This was a missionary incarnation. I came to do a specific job, and my father, who I share many of our interactions with in the book, and I were sort of a team. he came in a little bit earlier, at least in the linear time as we know it, to help foster my coming in. And we worked together beautifully, and I learned to realize that he wouldn't be around as long as most, and that I needed to really learn as much as I could.
It's wonderful that you had your father with you for as long as you did. And I know in Indigo Awakening, you talk about the fact that Indigo children do seem to have someone who helps them through the difficult parts, the often difficult parts of their childhood. It's time for our break. We've been talking with Dr. Janine Talty, author of Indigo Awakening. You can find out more about her at http://indigoawakening.com. Her book is a reflection on her childhood and development as a child of the Blue Ray, an indigo person. We have more for you when we return. You're listening to Full Power Living at EmotionalPro.com.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
You and everyone you know have been born to learn. All humans are on Earth to attend school. People know this intuitively, but they don't really live by it. And now you can. I'm Eileen Dillon.
Born to Learn is the title of my latest book, available at emotionalpro.com. The result of 30 years of investigation, which gives you the big picture and the instruction book. Born to Learn gives you information you need to turn your problems into puzzles and then solve them. Life is kinder when we complete our homework assignments. Start today. Order Born to Learn at emotionalpro.com and get a leg up on your life.
Welcome back to Full Power Living, talking today with Dr. Janine Talty, author of the first book on indigo childhood written by an adult indigo, entitled Indigo Awakening. You can find out more about this at indigoawakening.com. So, Dr. Talty, in line with what you were just speaking about, I think people often think of indigo children as being ultra-abled, sort of Superman or Wonder Woman terms, so that they don't suffer or they see things that other people don't see. But in reality, you end up standing outside, kind of having a bigger picture. And you can see things like when people aren't walking their talk and talking their talk, they're not being true to themselves. And it's not always an easy path, is it?
No, it's never easy, because you see how the world works and you know it could be done a different way. And that's the way you live your life. And you just hope that by example, they'll get it. But It's almost as if there is a naivete at the same time, because I think the indigo children and indigo people, the adults who are here, they expect to be treated in the way that they treat others. And oftentimes it doesn't happen that way. They get taken advantage of. And their paths, because of these traits, seem to be fraught with, at least the adults that I see. I just really realized that because of this bioenergetic photic resonance that we have toward each other, that a recent discovery of mine is that a third of my practice are what I call the derailed indigos, those who have been on a path, but they got derailed by physical illnesses or ailments or whatever. It's almost as if there are forces out there trying to prevent them to do their mission. And so that's been sort of a recent discovery of mine. But it is difficult. You watch the news and you immediately get the underlying sense that you're being lied to. And there's information that's not being shared. And what's the purpose behind some of these policies and occurrences, and how interconnected the world really is in trying to keep the herd in check. And so it's easy to see that once you sort of awaken to how the mechanism occurs. And being here, you just want to shake your head. You know, you can only do what you can do, and yet, you know, you're watching the whole thing disintegrate, that's what's going to happen over the next 3 years, more than it has now. That's what's been foretold in the ancient prophecies, and we're observing it. There's no denying that now. So we're really here to help foster that change and help hold the energy together in order to try to allow those who choose a different way to succeed in that.
As a healer, though, I'm a psychotherapist, and one of the things that I've observed is that in order for a person to grow and change, they usually fall apart first. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see that in the physical body, working with the physical body as well. To me, that's what's happening here on the earth, is it's falling apart so that the new can come in.
Absolutely. And to think that we can prevent it is incorrect. I mean, it's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to play out in this time where we are, and as we approach the galactic alignment of 2012. So it's all going along as planned, basically. And the best thing that we can do, and I tell my people, my patients this every day, is, you know, don't take anything seriously. You know, try to stay above it, because we have been so lulled asleep by the materialistic god of we are our stuff, and we've lost the inherent authenticity of really, you know, what's important in life. And as our stuff goes away and the foundations crumble, we really need to take a look at who we are, what we, you know, what we're here to do, and what's important, and to be in joy as we see sometimes pretty awful things happening. I mean, there's going to be, it's a choice point time. Those who came for the, you know, the beer and pizza are going to be lifted off in, you know, usually through death, cataclysms, whatever, you know, has been predicted. And those of us who have come to do, you know, the hard work, will be doing that in whatever way. We've all chosen unique ways in which to facilitate this change. And no one person's choice is better than another. I mean, if you want to go sing to trees, go sing to trees. You know, bring in that energy. I chose to be a physician and to help others dismantle and rebuild, you know, on a physical level. But I'm also teaching each and every person what the deeper meaning of their injuries are and or illnesses. You know, many people are so, it's almost as if they have horrible bad luck. And it's just one thing after another. And I really think that many have chosen to transmute a lot of the negativity through their energetic systems as part of their contract for the collective. And once they hear that, it sort of really resonates with them, and then they don't feel so much like a victim. Now they feel as if they're doing their part, which I really honestly think some are, and that's what they have chosen to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the points that the council you were talking about makes is that indigo children come as warrior spirits, and they come as leaders. And in order to strengthen themselves for the times that we're facing, you have difficulties. You go through hard times, challenges, things that maybe don't make sense to you, so that you can toughen up and be ready for that.
Yes, it's very much like an initiation process. You have to, at least my experience, and I'll own this, I had to be faced with monumental challenges, some that seemed insurmountable, with the perspective of knowing that if I accomplished whatever goal that was, that there was something so tremendous on the other side that was already waiting for me, that it made getting through the process feel, my life felt like a steeplechase. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. And staying true to that goal, that there was an initiation process going on, but also a real sense of purpose, as if I was being groomed for something. Like I really had to feel the pain, physical and emotional, and what it felt like to have a spine that was fractured and not be able to learn and be placed in special education, you know, knowing that I had knowledge that was so far beyond what they were trying to teach me. And knowing that I came to be a healer, which in this dimension required that I had to become a physician, which meant that I had to get through a whole lot of school, which was one of my biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the steeplechase can be daunting, and many don't make it. It feels like salmon going upstream to spawn. I mean, sometimes, you know, they don't get all the way up to do that.
Well, I have a question here from somebody on the chat. that speaks to this. I felt very lonely as a child. I thought it was my job to relieve people's pain so that they'd become available at last to play with me, but there was always more pain and the fun didn't ever happen. I played this out way into adulthood. Is it common for indigo children to come to the wrong conclusions in spite of their gifts?
I think it depends. I think they're so little known. There's really no one doing research on the adults, the ones that have already made it. We focus so much on the children, but I think we really need to bring a group together of the adults and find these things out, you know, because even when I was writing the book, I kept questioning, is this my individual experience or is this, can this be transferable to the group? There's really no data. There's no one really looking at this as to what these experiences have been. I have, you know, a group of people who have been derailed. They never got to their missions, and they are absolutely frustrated because they felt that they were here to heal the world, and yet all they've been stuck with is trying to heal themselves in the process. So I don't know if it's common, and I'd really like to find that out by perhaps, you know, collecting a lot of these folks who feel they fit into this category and discovering, you know, some of these stories.
Well, as a person who's raised kids who operate a lot like this, reading your book was like things going off in my mind. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Aha. So let me just tell you from one person anyway. We also got some questions from a woman named Nancy who says she wants you to know that by coincidence, that's in quotes, I just got your book in my hands yesterday and I'm loving it. Thank you so much for being here. Now, she has some questions I'd like to pose to you. The first is, what are some practical steps an adult indigo can take once they discover they are indigos to integrate their internal experiences with the outer world and their own soul mission purpose here?
Well, I would ask a question if they know their own soul purpose or if they're still in search of that. My experience with the adults that I've interacted with is that some of them have a clear idea of what that was and they've kept to it, and others still are looking for their mission. They know that there is one, but they haven't gotten the instruction book yet. And my advice to them would be stay on your path, use your intuition. It will put you in places that you need to be and be ready for the answers. Really open yourself up. I mean, that's how I discovered who it was and what I was, is I was drawn to certain information. I couldn't explain why. I became obsessed with certain topics and places, and I went to those places, and I felt what was there, and I listened to the stones, and I felt the ley line energy, and it spoke to me in ancient ways, and I had helpers and teachers that allowed me to open up, because being, you know, going through medical training and being indoctrinated to what I now call mind control medicine, it closes you down to a lot of being able to even fathom other ways of knowing and having an intuitive sense throughout and constantly balancing what I was being told to think and what I was getting, you know, from source. It allowed me to stay skeptical and yet open. And so I had to seek out teachers whom I respected, Christine Page being one of them, as a physician, an intuitive physician, allowed me to say, hey, it's okay, I can trust this stuff and I can use it. And once I started doing that, it was as if the cornucopia opened up, you know, and came blasting through my head and energetic system that that there was a whole nother level of knowing and understanding. So the mission is there. Let your intuition be your guide. And what's really sad is that most people fear that. You know, they fear intuitive knowledge. And I think because we've been so indoctrinated through religious thinking that that's the word of the devil. be brave and open up to that. Ask for it, because the indigos are table ready energetically to receive this. They just have to seek it out and allow themselves to do it.
Great. That's a great piece of advice. And I do want to say, for those interested in reading Indigo Awakening, that your own path, to me, presented a remarkable opening in terms of intuition, in which you got to the point where you could change in a day your entire life path when new information came up. It's really amazing what you were able to do. Again, on our chat, one of the responses about not having enough data about indigos is to bring adult indigos together and make that your next book, please. Intergeneration.
I kind of foresee that happening.
Well, apparently this person does too. So another question from Nancy. What do you believe are some effective ways to deal with authority figures with whom we adult indigos may come into contact without feeding into aggression on either part? Are there ways we can learn to relate without giving up our inner knowing and power, even if the system doesn't support us yet?
I think it's the art of being able to project your perspective and see the situation through their eyes. Look back at yourself as they are seeing you and the situation, and have compassion about their way of seeing it, because an indigo will see it completely differently, and they don't understand why others don't see it their way, because it seems so obvious.
Right.
And there always seems to be a clear answer to whatever situation, because there's sort of a lack of ego. But you're dealing with others who don't have that capacity. And so it's, I think, our job to sort of rise above a situation that you're describing, be able to project your consciousness and see it as they see it, and modify it whatever way you can, because you can't expect them to have the ability to see it the way you do, because it's neurologically impossible. I'm absolutely convinced we're wired differently and our brains think differently. And, you know, Carolyn Mace, I think, did a great service. She kind of described that there's two beings walking around on the planet, the Pisceans, who have the split brain consciousness, the right, wrong, black, white, good, bad, and then the moving into the Aquarians, which the indigos are. You know, they have more of a spherical way of looking at things, and never the two shall understand the other. So you have to be compassionate in those situations and take the higher road. Don't engage on that emotional anger level, because then no one's communicating. It goes out the window.
That's interesting. Years ago, in my 30s, I saw an astrologer, and I was suffering because I seemed to have no friends, and I was living alone, and I would cry myself to sleep at night. And not knowing anything about people with intuitive knowledge, I was very careful. So I asked him, tell me about me and work. Tell me about me and friends. And he consulted my chart and said, you might as well forget it this lifetime. You didn't come here to have friends. And it was a bit of a shock. But what he said, and I think this relates to what you're talking about there, is he said that most people, in order to have friendships, actually operate in a very narrow framework, whereas I look at things with a big, broad perspective, and it actually scares people, and they're not real interested in being your friend when you can see things that they can't see, or when your brain is wired differently than theirs. That's hard for people, I think.
It is. It challenges their way of being, and I really honestly don't think they have the faculties to go where you are, and so they backpedal. You know, they realize that you're operating from a different perspective, and that's scary. Or they call you names, you know, and they deface you.
Mm-hmm. So the third question that Nancy has is, if we're parenting or otherwise in a position to help with younger indigo or crystal kids, how can we best support them to blossom and feel safe to be themselves? Where is the fine line that divides between protecting them and allowing them to own their own power?
That's the real challenge. My advice would be to allow them to grow and develop in whatever way interests them, whatever paths they choose, and yet sort of be a guide, not as a authority figure, because that may, you know, bring some challenges, but more as their ally. You know, treat them as if they were your equal at some times. Of course, kids need to be parented at, you know, certain times of their life, especially the teen years where they're looking for boundaries. But as youngsters, sometimes they seem like they're going off in all different directions, and there isn't a clear path. But it's interesting how that will at some time coalesce into something that maybe isn't even forecasted at this time. So my advice to parents would be to get them in situations where they can use their creative abilities, keep them engaged. When they express desires or speak about things that may take you aback, like, you know, when they used to hang out with Leonardo da Vinci or you know, when they were doing things that four-year-olds shouldn't know about, engage them in those conversations. Investigate that. Don't shut them down. Dr. Boyland, who I reference at the end of the book, who has been studying this for almost 25 years now, he actually holds workshops for parents and children and adults who are of this persuasion. He holds camps, and what he does is he does exercises that, you know, bring out their interesting traits. They do remote viewing exercises, and they play with energy, and they play with telepathic communication, and so it's like a playpen of their traits and their characteristics, and he brings them to a place where they can actually feel earth energies. He holds them in very interesting locations, you know, where ley lines are intersecting and there are vortexes and whatnot. And it allows them to really express their differences and find a safe zone with others who are also experiencing the same thing. So I would highly recommend visiting his website, and maybe if you know, parents are interested, to get involved with some of the programs that he has going on, because they're fantastic.
Sounds fascinating. And I would also point out that we recently had Dr. Karen Good, G-O-O-D-E, on the program. She has a book called Raising Intuitive Children, and I'm going to be working with her on her online academy addressing many of these same issues, and that's at academyforcoachingparents.com, so I'll just put that out there too. And it does seem that one of the things that parents encounter, and maybe we can talk more about this after following our break here, one of the things that parents encounter is their own fear, you know, the same as anyone else. If their child has abilities or seems to behave differently, and the things you've learned to do in terms of parenting over the years don't work with indigo kids, you know, you can say, you know, here will be your consequence for doing this, and the kid says, I don't care. It's okay. I'll take the consequence. So what do, you know? And so I think I'd like to look a little bit at emotions. We've been talking with Dr. Janine Talty, author of Indigo Awakening and the first adult indigo individual to write a book describing the sometimes rocky experiences of childhood that result from being different from humans who are already here on the earth and being an indigo child. You can call us at 800-638-4444. 800-630-7858, 800-630-7858, to ask Dr. Talty your questions directly. You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon. Have you noticed how much and how fast things are changing in this world? It's making stress our number one affliction. Staying emotionally balanced eliminates stress.
The only effective way to avoid stressing out with every change or disaster is to awaken your emotions. Emotions, you see, are special tools. They're available 24/7 to tell us what's best to do.
If you don't know the signal that anger, fear, depression, guilt, or jealousy are offering you, get the new CD album, Awaken Your Emotions, created especially for you in these stressful times by life coach Dakey Fox and emotional pro, longtime family therapist Eileen Dillon.
Easily handle everything life throws your way. When you gain mastery over these tools called emotions, you dramatically reduce stress, maintain personal balance, and permanently improve your life's overall quality.
Return to the inner peace of calmer times now. Get your copy of Awaken Your Emotions at the store at www.emotionalpro.com today.
That's www.emotionalpro.com.
All right, we're back on Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. First of all, longtime co-host Dakey Fox and I are launching two new internet radio programs called Building Conscious Families and Taking Your Turn. We'll be on the Women's Information Network at thewinonline.com, the WINonline.com, and they're up and running now. You can check them out. We'll be broadcasting soon. We're also available on iTunes, so go there and type in my name, Eileen, I-L-E-N-E, Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N, and you'll be offered the opportunity to subscribe to receive Full Power Living shows. And I'm sure with shows like last week's discussion with Stuart Wilde and this week's talk with Dr. Talty, you won't want to miss a single show. Next week, June 11th, the best-selling author of the diet book The Zone, Dr. Barry Sears, is with us. He has a new book, Toxic Fat, and Janine, you might be interested in this, which has incredible information about what's actually causing America's obesity epidemic. He talks with me about three changes made in the way Americans eat that have impacted the way insulin behaves in our bodies, and he says that the many chronic illnesses with which we're now struggling have resulted from the way we eat, and it's through the way we eat that we can fix it also. It's a fascinating discussion about toxic fat, so do join us. On June 18th, we host Robin Marvel, who's the author of two books about empowering children, Awakening Consciousness, A Girl's Guide and A Boy's Guide. June 25th, we have internal medicine and cardiologist Dr. Alejandro Junger's revolutionary program to restore the body's natural ability to heal itself called CLEAN. So please join us in the coming weeks. Don't miss any of our shows. We're back now with today's guest, Adult Indigo, Dr. Janine Talty. You can find out more about her at indigoawakening.com. And that's all about her book, Indigo Awakening. And people can get your book on Amazon. Where else, Dr. Talty?
It's also on Borders and Barnes & Noble on the websites. I don't know if it's actually in the stores yet because it was scheduled for release June 1st. So I haven't moseyed into one of the stores. I'm sure they could order it for you since it's on their internet sites. But they are carrying it. And also it's on the Great. International sites of Amazon as well.
Wonderful. All right. So before the break, I was mentioning that I know when our son was born, we were told that he might be exceptionally intelligent. And it was interesting to me that my husband became afraid. He said, "How can I raise an exceptionally intelligent child?" And my response was, well, you do the best you can. You love them. You treat them like any other child, and then you turn them loose, you know, and support them. Would that be your similar to your advice, too?
You know, as you're saying that, I think, you know, our children are really not our own. We just foster their coming back in dimension and do the best we can. I think they're on their own paths. So I think your advice is absolutely spot on, that, you know, expose them to whatever expands their awareness, teach them everything that you know, and get them to others who may add more information and they can emulate as well. I mean, there were so many people that came into my experience as a child, and I would experience them and think, wow, I want to do things like that person does, and pick out certain traits and characteristics that they held that I wanted to also at some point sort of collect and emulate. And I think having a broad experience of various different adults and an expansive, you know, exposure to information and experiences, travel, places, just try to make their early years as rich as possible, in order to allow them to really find out what's out there, because they're going to find it anyway. it's quite interesting how they will track on certain topics and want to learn every single thing about that. And really what that is they already know it. They're just out there validating what they already know. And that was my experience. I didn't know I knew it. I just, as I learned it, it was as if I was reawakening to the knowledge I had already come in with. And so my house is filled with books, and what I do is I read to try and validate the information that I already came in with, because it gives you a sense that that it fosters your own sense of well-being that and trust in the inherent knowledge that you came in with. Because a lot of times that doesn't get validated elsewhere.
You know, you remind me, when my son was about 14, he mentioned to me one day that he needed a mentor. His own dad had left when he was about 2.5, and I tried to get him a big brother, tried various things, but he didn't have a male model. And it took him about 1 week. He disappeared one night and came home about 10 o'clock and said, "Remember I told you I needed a mentor? Well, I found him. He lives 2 doors away from us." And he'd found an environmental physicist named Jim Lovell, who indeed took him under his wing and taught him many things and parented him in ways that he really needed. So it seems to me that one of the things we need to reassure people, especially if they are raising indigo kids, is to trust the child will find what he or she needs.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here with this big smile on my face, because as I went out into the world, I found mentors, and it was as if they had been waiting for me as I had been looking for them. You know, I fell at the feet of master after master that fostered my development in the unique way that I was to do that. And again, it's trusting whatever you call it, God, the universal forces, the overall plan, whatever label you want to use, that the paths of these beings is already set. You know, it's prearranged, and they're going to find them whether we, you know, do it right or not. So I think parents need to maybe relax a little bit and not feel so overly responsible that they have to do all the work, you know, because these kids are on their own clear path. They will find the people who have been predestined, you know, dates that they have been predestined to keep, and it will all, I think, turn out for the best. Yes. Certainly some will get, as I call, derailed, and that's where the challenges come in. And I'm not really sure how that can be prevented. And again, you know, maybe that's part of their mission as well. I don't know. It's one of those questions that I'm still asking.
Well, given how your book unfolds, I trust that you will find the answer. So we have one more question from our friend Nancy. She says, many people, not just indigos, are fascinated by the 2012 changes. What should all indigos know and possibly do about this?
Well, I think to familiarize yourselves with all the different possibilities. It's not all gloom and doom and cataclysms. There's lots of different sources out there that are looking at it from different perspectives. The Operation Terra information is very interesting. That's looking at 12 possibilities of how the Earth is going to change, and we get to choose. And this choice point is sort of throughout all this literature. We're going to be able to decide what it is that we want to experience as we go through this interdimensional portal, whatever it's actually going to be. We're not really sure. But all that I do know is that the indigos have come here, and I use indigo as a broad term. You can call them star children, the crystals, the rainbows, the cusps. You know, I see it as a phase transition of human consciousness and form. And we get stuck in these labels, so I just needed to say that. But I'll use the term indigo because it's more it's more accepted. But I would just familiarize yourselves with all the different possibilities and seek out the different teachers. Greg Braden has been talking about this for a long time. Christine Page. There's some great videos, some on the History Channel, of Nostradamus' predictions of what's going to be happening. So there's lots of different sources. And again, rather than going into fear about, oh my God, the world's going to end and we're all going to blow up, really kind of take it all in. But again, don't take it too seriously because it's probably not going to be one singularity on December 12th, 2012 that changes the world. But we may look back at that point and say, yeah, that's kind of when we can say that something new came in. I mean, I kind of see it as a real opportunity of doing things differently than we have been doing them so far. And I think there's forces that are pushing us toward the dark and the light. The dark is just that which we can't see. It's occult at this point, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It's in balance. Just as there's so many negative things that we're seeing on our TVs, on the news every night, there are positive things that are in balance to the same degree, and we need to know that, even though we may not be seeing that so prominently in our media sources. But those of us who can feel have the ability to sense that. I had an incredible experience the day that we went to war in Iraq. And it was as if I had a stream of just soldiers' love come in through my head that I was able to project to the people that I saw that day out through my chest, that I got a sense that I was picking up probably those who are out there in monasteries on mountains who are truly, truly, truly trying to generate a positive balance for what we were stepping into back in Mesopotamia, which is where all of this sort of started back before Sumeria. So I think we need to hold on to our hats and our seats and keep moving forward and just really try to keep our perspective about what we're seeing happening all around the world and in our own country, and stay in a position of compassion for those who are suffering, and know that this is all part of the plan. There's nothing we can do to stop it, and it's not meant to be stopped. It is what it is, and we're here. This is the big dance. None of us really wanted to miss it, and now it's happening. So it's going to be exciting, and you know, they say that there hasn't been another major society who has gone through a 26,000-year shift. I beg to differ. I think those who have any sort of connection to Atlantis and Lemuria, who a lot of the indigos do, have come here because they have done this before, and they know they know what needs to be done, and they will tap into their intuitive knowledge and foster the process in whatever way they have chosen for themselves.
That sounds like a wonderful place to end. Thank you very much. Our time is up. I want to thank you for your life and your dedication to your own Earth mission, Dr. Talty, and let you know it's been a pleasure to get to know you and to read Indigo Awakening. Thank you for appearing on Full Power Living today.
You are welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Great. So be sure to join us next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, June 11th, to learn about toxic fat and how it can be ruining your life and health without you even realizing it. We're talking with Dr. Barry Sears. We look forward to having you with us. Thanks to our two incredibly supportive and talented producers at Fresh Talk Media, Paul and Robin Johnston. And this is Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention to what you want to become and not to what you want to overcome.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.